There we go. Got that thing flopping around too bad. I better get it fixed. All right. Can you hear me all right? Everybody, good to see all of you. I have, I thought we were going to do another portrait of Jesus and out of John this week, and the Lord changed my mind yesterday morning. He said we needed to talk about a willing heart. And so I spent a lot of time in prayer on this one because what do you want us to hear, Lord? What do you want us to hear? And as we go through our week, as we seek His guidance and in our life and what we're going to do as we start each day, do we think about starting our day with Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? You know, in the model prayer in Matthew 6, verse 10, it says, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are we willing to put aside our self, basically, and allow Him to lead us by His Spirit as we walk through the day, as we go about every day, everything that we do? How much do we say, Your will be done? Do we have a willing heart, a heart that's willing to hear God and then do what He says instead of what we want? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get started. Father, I thank You for Your word. Thank You, Father, that You do give us the words to say to the church. And Lord, I always pray that I've heard You, that Lord, that You'll give me the words to speak today, that I won't allow myself to get in the way, but Lord, I'll let You speak through me today. And Father, as we hear the Word of God, give us ears to listen, to take in what You're saying. And Lord, that we will be Your hands and feet in the community this week. Guide us in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin today in Psalms 51. David was just... I love the Psalms of David, and this is another one of his, and he's just, when you think about David's life and all that he did, and he was as human as we are, and he didn't always do things right, but the Father loved David. He said, He's a man after My own heart. And we're just going to look at verses 10, 11, and 12 in Psalms 51. David starts out this psalm there in verse 1. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to Your unfailing love, according to Your great compassion." And telling him, he said, "Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." So David knew he had sinned, and he knew that he needed God's forgiveness. And in verse 10, he says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from Your presence, or take Your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of Your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." So David's asking the Lord here for a willing heart, a spirit that is willing to do what God wants, is willing to walk in His ways every day. And so the way that he did that is to ask for a pure heart. He says, "Create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me." We have to be steadfast, don't we? We have to be willing to walk with God no matter what. And the best example that I could find of someone who had a willing spirit is Jesus. And we're going to look now in Hebrews chapter 10. It's talking here about when Jesus came, what he came to earth for. And so let's... Verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 7 says, I have come to do your will, O God. And we're going to start actually in... here I'm in Luke, not Hebrews. I better get it to the right place. I quit too soon. I'm going to start, if I start reading in Luke, you guys will say, what in the world are you doing? Where are you at today? I wanted to start in the last part of chapter 9 today. There in verse 26, it says, then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. So the law was set up to so they could bring sacrifices every year to take care of sin. And you all know that. We've talked about it before. And so Jesus, that's what I was talking about here, is Jesus coming to sacrifice himself for our sins. And there in verse 2, it says, if I could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. So this was something set up in the law years ahead of time, years before Jesus came. And that really wasn't God's plan for sin, but it's the way it was set up. It's the way it was set up. Verse 8 says, first he said, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although they were required. But then he said, here I am, I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we will have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. So he only had to do it once to get it right. He came willingly to die for our sins. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. For where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." Isn't it awesome that he forgives for all time? It's not something he keeps bringing back up to us. He doesn't remember our sins anymore. And then in the last part of the chapter here is a call for us to persevere. I just want to go down to verse 25 from 19 and to finish up here in Hebrews. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." These verses here hold so much meaning for me because of Sunday school here. It's one of it's the best part of the day for me as we gather together back in the classroom for Sunday school, because we share life back there. We communicate together and pray for one another and encourage one another, lift one another up, and it's just a good time. I would encourage all of you to join us for Sunday school just because it's so awesome. If we get too big for that room back there, we've got plenty of room out here. So don't worry about filling the room up. We don't worry about that. But it says, let us not give up meeting together. And I've talked to a lot of people since COVID happened. And I blame COVID for a lot of things that hurt the church a lot. And there's a lot of people that never went back to church since COVID. They just stay home. It's a habit that we build is what it is. It's a habit that we make within ourselves and we get used to it and we like it. So we don't make the effort. But I think that it's important that when we come together and meet together, that we share one another's burdens, that we lift each other up, and take time to pray for one another and encourage one another. And that's what God's Word says here. Ephesians chapter 5, let's just flip over to Ephesians here quick, and then we're going to go to back to Joshua. Ephesians 5 and verses 15 through 17. Say, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, and always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." So part of our calling is to submit to one another, not to judge one another, but just to lift one another up and submit ourselves to one another for keeps us in check, just helps us to walk with God wholeheartedly. Back in Joshua, so I went to Joshua. This is the end of Moses' life here, where the end of Deuteronomy, and Moses has gone on. He's gone up the mountain there and died. The Lord told him he was not able to go in the promised land because of something that he did. And so Joshua has agreed to basically. So if you remember, Joshua was one of the spies that went in, excuse me, to check out the land that they were going to. And he was one of two that wasn't afraid of the giants that were in the land. As you remember the story of how they went and spied out the land. And here in chapter 1 of Joshua, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River, excuse me, into the land that I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. So I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Great Sea or the Mediterranean on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.'" So remember, Joshua saw the same thing as the other spies. 10 of the men that came back from that journey were afraid. They said, "We seemed like grasshoppers in the sight of these giants. We can't take the land." But Joshua said, "Yes, we can. God told us that He was going to give us the land. He told us that He would take care of us. That He would. And so that's why God chose Joshua to lead the children of Israel on into the promised land." So verse 10 says, "So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, 'Get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own.' But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, 'Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you on the east side of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as He has done for you, and until they, too, have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunset or sunrise.' But then they answered Joshua, Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. What an awesome verse that is. If we could just tell the Lord that, wherever you send us, we will go. Whatever you command us, we will do. Instead of making an argument out of it. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So, I can tell you that today. Be strong and courageous in the battle that you have on the earth. And it is a battle, guys. It's a spiritual battle. Every day, Satan's after us to go against what God wants. So are we going to have a willing heart? Are we going to say this week, tomorrow, today, Father, your will be done, not mine? So if we can be as Jesus was when he came, I'll do what you want me to do, Father. Not my will, but thine be done. And we've heard him say that so many times. And he's looking for willing hearts. He's looking for someone who's willing to stand up and do what he wants. And be the children of God that he wants. So as you go this week, remember the verses from the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If any of you need prayer this morning, we're going to have time for that as they come for the final song. It can be for anything. We don't care. If there's anybody here who has never accepted the Lord and would like to do that this morning, we always want to give opportunity for that. Biggest decision you'll ever make in your life is to walk with God, to be a child of His. So as we sing our last song, if you need prayer, why come? The elders will be here to pray with you.